This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers on the Cray commitment to adaptive supercomputing, providing scalability across the HPC performance spectrum. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownxc30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HPC Acceleration looks for elusive standard.
And password cracking, GPU style.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 7th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, we're sort of winding down the year, but there's a few stories out there that caught our interest, sort of some leftover stories that we've covered a little bit and that were from SC, the recent conference in Salt Lake City.
I always love doing leftovers after Thanksgiving.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, very, absolutely. It's my favorite part.
Well, one of the tastiest stories that we had I wrote about a little bit at SC was OpenMP. I mean, this is the old parallel programming model work for SMP systems, and They've talked about this new accelerator directives addendum for a while now. They've been working on this for years, and they came out with a technical report just prior to SC, and they talked about it at the conference quite a bit and got some feedback, and over the next month they're going to get more feedback so they can put out a release candidate and eventually a ratified standard early in the new year.
So they got a technical report out, and here it is. How'd they do?
Well, good question. I mean, basically, they came up with a set of standards that were designed basically to work across all accelerators. I mean, this is the idea. There's going to be...
That was the goal. The idea was that it works for accelerators.
Right. So you had, until very recently, you basically had GPUs. Those were the accelerators. But now, with Intel coming on the scene with the Xeon Phi, which they launched last month as well, and now with Texas Instruments talking about DSPs as accelerators and other things that people have talked about in more custom ways to use accelerators. It's just a more diverse architectural set of chips out there that could benefit from a high level technology or a high level software framework that is standard like OpenMP. So everybody was very interested in this. There's all the usual suspects on the board of OpenMP, Intel, AMD, Texas Instruments, all the system vendors, everybody wants this.
But I agree with everything you said except for the notion that accelerators equal GPUs. I mean, there have always been other accelerators around from FPGAs to cells. I mean, in the time frame they were working on this, there were other types of accelerators. The idea was that this would work for all of them.
Right. I mean, FPGAs is a little bit of an outlier there. That's a very different programming model, although some of this may even extend to that, but that's sort of another issue. The main idea was to sort of get the commodity accelerators that have become popularized over the last 5 years under the standard, and so that people could use them and could have some hardware agnostic way to express programs and do acceleration with something that's already very popular.
Right.
So what happened? They put out this proposal, and I talked to some of the OpenMP people, and they're very enthusiastic about this. The thing is, if you read a little about the history of this, there was sort of this competing group, or that became a competing group, the OpenACC group, that were basically geared for GPUs. I mean, it was general enough that those directives could apply to other accelerators too, but they came out with this, basically a year ago, because there was already a market for GPUs as accelerators. NVIDIA was behind this, Cray, PGI, and CAPS in France. They all had customers that wanted sort of this high-level framework. And so they came out with their own standard and sort of ratified it internally and had something for their customer base. And at some point, everybody thought, well, OpenACC will be folded back in once the other accelerators came up to speed and were released, and everybody would be happy again. That hasn't quite happened yet, as it turns out.
You're given a lot of history here to build up to the point that the new OpenMP is falling short in terms of what kinds of accelerators it can attack, right?
Yeah, from what I understood from talking with people who would rather not be named at this point, but I think you can guess which side of the fence they're on, the GPU part of this never really made it back into the original or the initial proposal.
Right.
That happened for a lot of reasons, but I think the main problem is the difference between something like a Xeon Phi or even something like a DSP is very different architecture than something like a GPU.
That's right.
And to take advantage of a many-core CPU is different, and it's different in such a way that it's much easier to write those directives in a certain way if you know that you have that sort of functionality of a CPU. So it's not that OpenACC couldn't work on any of these things. It could. It can create, I mean, we've already got compilers out there by PGI and others that already address Xeon Phis. It works, but it's not the most maybe user-friendly thing that you would devise if you had to come up with a set of directives.
Well, what we have here really is fundamentally two different competing views for our architectural future, right? The one view is that you keep following down the multi-core path and you have beefier processors that embrace a new level of parallelism on the socket with the multiple cores and perhaps have a lighter accelerator that might be attached to that. And that seems to be the direction that OpenMP in this implementation is leaning. The competing view there is more of a GPU accelerator dominant view where you've got a lighter processor, perhaps even looking forward to the future of ARM, and then a much heavier accelerator like a GPU. And it seems like OpenMP is not lined up in that direction currently.
I think that's essentially right, except I would say in the future, I think all of these things will sort of line up together. I mean, I think basically you're going to have a big little type architecture, basically a big...
I don't know how you can say you're going to line up. I mean, are you going to be based on x86 or not?
Well, no. I mean, that's just the ISA. I think in a way that's sort of outside of this realm. The idea is to come up with something independent of the underlying ISA or even the hardware features, you know, beyond that. I think what we're eventually going to is going to be an integrated platform that will have a big data parallel logic unit and then a smaller logic unit for serial.
I agree
processing.
That we're looking at things that are going to be integrated. I'm not sure that you can say for certain exactly what those underlying components are going to be, although I do agree that programming models are fundamentals of the discussion here.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, and you basically brought this up, the problem is right now today, we're sort of at the beginning of this evolution, so we've sort of got this diversity of approaches, and the one by Intel and a few others, and the one by NVIDIA and AMD are kind of fundamentally different, and they lend themselves to sort of different solutions, and combining those into sort of a standard set of APIs or frameworks is really difficult right now, and it's not the fault of anybody in particular here, it's just the approaches are coming from two different directions. One's coming from CPU, one's coming from a GPU.
Right.
And they wanted to release this, you know, basically for supercomputing. They wanted to get something out there. People were interested in this, and I think it's just a little premature. I actually think...
I don't think it's premature. I think it's even almost late compared
in the sense that people want it and they don't have it yet, but it's premature in the sense it wasn't fully baked. They need an OpenMP directives platform that can serve the market. And right now, it doesn't serve the basically 90% of the market, the GPU acceleration market, very well at all.
But you need to get it out there because it's late from the standpoint of if you look ahead to 5-6 years from now, what are programming models going to be? I don't think that's a solved question right now.
No, I mean that's sort of another layer that's almost beyond. Well, it is beyond what OpenMP is trying to do just for the accelerator directives here. But but this is the first cut at that. I think people are working hard on this to sort of bring sort of the GPU support back into this, and I think that will happen. I'm not sure when, but it's a process, and it's hard work, and I think it's hard work because the architectures are different, and there's have to be some compromises made. But even Intel wants this. I mean, you could say Intel's just doing this maybe for selfish reasons. They're interested in the Xeon 5, but Intel has GPUs as well. They want the GPUs model to be supported with OpenMP as well. Everybody wants this. It's just not quite there yet.
Well, sure, and you'd like that. Intel would like to have the right programming model integrated with Intel tools, because it's going to be software that makes the difference in this architecture war going forward. And when we look at programming models and try to predict where this is going, there's really three branches to the discussion, right? One would be that you take the current dominant models of OpenMP plus MPI and take them forward. Now, they'd have to evolve. You need an evolution of OpenMP. You need to go to some kind of MPI plus, but that would be phase one, the idea number one. Idea number two would be that you get something growing up out of the accelerator side, like a CUDA or even OpenCL, and that that becomes the dominant programming model, because GPU computing has taken over our future 5 years from now. It's an interesting argument to listen to, and probably one that has the most momentum right now, even if it's not coming from the largest base. The third one would be the idea of some type of high-level abstraction layer that's an overlay on top of whatever the underlying architecture is, something like Swarm, which you know, you program to this, and then it doesn't matter what your architecture is underneath. That's maybe the nicest from a Nirvana standpoint, but is the one that has the farthest way to go.
Yeah, I think people are talking about all those sort of options. I guess my pessimism here now, seeing that how hard it is to sort of just take what really is essentially a baby step from standard OpenMP to OpenMP plus accelerators, it's hard for me to see how any of those are going to pan out before the hardware gets here, because it seems like standards are so hard to establish with all the different architectures that I think we're going to be dumped with the hardware, and then the software models and frameworks are going to have to catch up, as we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's hard to come up with a standard here, especially because on the OpenMP side, you're trying to incorporate really two different architectural changes at the same time. One is the accelerator, and the other is the evolution of multi-core. Right, and how you handle the parallelism on the socket is a different problem from how you handle migrating selected bits of workload over a PCI type connection to another processing element.
Right, there's that distinction as well that has to be accounted for. But yeah, anyway, I do believe this will happen with OpenMP. I don't know what the timeline is anymore. I'm optimistic long term about this, but I guess I'm a little pessimistic short term, and longer term again, maybe I'm a little pessimistic that we're ever going to get out ahead of the hardware for our programming models. It just never seems to happen.
Well, you're to be commended for starting the discussion, because this is where a lot of the interesting work is going to happen, and it's going to determine what the future looks like 6 years down the road.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll talk about actually a real-world application for a real-world accelerator that is out there today, and we'll come back and talk about that success at least.
The XC30 series has been designed with a holistic approach to optimize the entire system to deliver sustained real-world performance and scalability across all hardware, networking, and software. The Cray XC30 series leverages the combined advantages of next-generation Aries Interconnect, a flexible new network topology, Intel Xeon processors, integrated storage solutions, and major software environment enhancements. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
So we're just talking about GPUs and accelerators in general. There was a story out this week in actually another publication that brought this out, but we've talked about this before a little bit, about a GPU cluster, a relatively small cluster, that is doing what is essentially password cracking. It's cracking passwords for good. Now, I mean, it's not a hacker doing this, but they're looking into security issues, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to best sort of protect passwords, but to do that, they're looking at cracking them and improving that process. But they've got this relatively small cluster filled with GPUs, I think 256 of them, and they're able to get some amazing processing done to crack, I think it was like a 348 million password hashes per second.
348 billion.
Choose through it so like in 5 hours, you can basically crack them all. I mean, on basically something you could probably set up in your basement.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of password cracking is now this is for essentially doing back references on the password hashes. This isn't for the live online trying passwords you're three and you're out. This is the idea of you've downloaded the password file which matches the username to the hashed password, and then you're doing a comparison of that hash to your library of generated hashes from what the password might have been, and how many of those comparisons can you do every second, which is why they urge us to have more complicated passwords that aren't just dictionary words, regardless of how obscure we think that dictionary word is.
Right, exactly. But it sounds like the technology is sort of moving so fast, and we can sort of keep creating more complex passwords, but security is such that the technology, especially now where we've sort of got this commodity technology with GPUs, and in this case they were using a version of OpenCL as the software platform, it's not that hard to do some pretty wondrous things for good or ill here. Everybody has these, everybody's aware of their passwords, and everybody, there's all these recommendations to change it, add numbers, add other characters, but it's hard to keep up with it. I mean, there's a lot more power out there to do ill now.
Yeah, and password cracking it remains this brute force method, and what's happening with the GPU clusters is it makes which is a very parallel type of application, right? There's no inter-core communication that's really necessary at all. It's just lookups and comparisons. So you can put an awful lot of power into a more affordable package now. You could do it over very loosely coupled GPUs and just go after a huge number of passwords. The whole schooling or herding mentality of, well, my account isn't that interesting, maybe doesn't make you feel that safe if all of a sudden they're all going to get busted.
Right. And 10 years ago, nobody was doing this at this level. The internet wasn't, the force it is, but this stuff was being done at the three-letter agencies with the Cray supercomputer. And that's how it was done if people needed that, this type of processing for like these large password files. But now it's basically that technology is available to anyone who wants it. And that's sort of the scary part of it, I guess. But the other part is now we can figure out ways to protect ourselves, at least until we get quantum computers, and I think all bets are off.
Yep. This isn't a new concept. This reverse dictionary hacking has been around since the 1960s, 1970s. Clifford Stoll's book, The Cuckoo's Egg, is a marvelous little book that looks at what this looked like in his life in the 1970s. Then you fast forward to the movie Sneakers, however many years ago that was, with Robert Redford, and the idea that a mathematical algorithm could undo encryption if you had a better algorithm for, say, prime factorization. We're always trying to stay a step ahead of what the hacking can do, and what's safe in one decade doesn't become safe in the next decade because the computers get that much more powerful for the dollar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something I think we're all aware of, or at least some of us are aware of it. And I think the power that we're presented with today is making this a lot more interesting for all of us.
So, I mean, the question is then what to do about it, right? You can make your password longer. You can incorporate more weird characters into it. But, you know, it gets to the point where you start keeping a tablet on your desktop where you've written down all of your passwords, or they're all in a keychain on your phone, right? And then anyone who copies your swipe pattern on your phone now has access to all of your websites. So you make it more secure, and then you make it less secure by bringing it to a point where you're not just keeping it locked in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a brave new world out there. And I think, I don't even trust my own passwords anymore.
I'm starting to think this week I'm just going to go offline and go off the grid entirely. That might be better.
Go live in the woods. Okay.
I don't know how we're going to do our podcast. I'll get a megaphone and I'll talk loud and you can record it from there.
Good plan. Well, we'll maybe think about that for the new year, for our new platform for doing
this.
That's
right. Bring on 2013. I'm ready to go off the internet.
Yeah. Well, we've just got a couple more, actually, podcasts for the end of the year. We'll have our news next week, and then we'll sort of do a yearly wrap-up. But we are coming quickly to a close. But
next week, in fact, I'm going to be at a conference, one of the final HPC events of the year. I'm going to be speaking at the Society of HPC Professionals event in Houston, so I'll be able to give an update from that.
Okay, excellent. Looking forward to that. Okay, Addison, until next week then, we'll sign off and we'll catch up again.
We'll talk to you later, Michael.
All right.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Cray. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers on the Cray commitment to adaptive supercomputing, providing scalability across the HPC performance spectrum. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.